Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Thanks be to God.
I wonder how many of you are familiar with this scenario. You're sitting reading the newspaper, or reading a book, watching the television. There's a big match on, or there's some series that you're really engrossed in, and your other half comes in and starts to talk to you just while you're engrossed in what you are doing. You may look like you're listening, but perhaps, like John Cleary, in your head, you are riding your motorbike. John knows where I got that photograph from. Thank you, John. It was a good cup of tea. But when you fail to respond, your other half says, "Did you hear me?" And you reply, "Yeah, I heard you." "What did I say then? Has that ever come back to you?" It came back to me a few times. "It was true to say that you heard, but were you listening?" As Christians, we need to listen to Jesus, not just to hear what he says, to take on board what he says, to do what he teaches. Jesus often taught us in parables. And in these verses, Jesus really spells it out for you, how he expects his followers to be totally committed. I think I went too far. That's where we should be. a parable. Is it simply an earthly story with a heavenly meaning? That's what you used to hear, didn't we? Are parables moral tales? A bit like Aesop's fables. Who did Jesus intend the parables for? Are they for Jesus' disciples, himself, for believers like you and me? Or only for unbelievers? Or are they intended for both, believers and unbelievers? There is a place for moral tales, of course, illustrations that perhaps help children to understand right and wrong. But unless we point out to our children that Jesus is actually not teaching them just to be good, but rather to repent and ask forgiveness from him. What if Jesus hadn't explained this parable for us, and we needed to put our own interpretation on it, get to work it out for ourselves? And then what if we got it completely wrong? Perhaps something like this. The seed is a false teaching, and the path is sound believer that rejects false teaching. And the soft ground is weak, gullible people who believe anything that and goes with it. So you need to be like the path. That sounds like complete nonsense, doesn't it? And of course it is, because Jesus did actually tell us the meaning. And that's the point. To understand the meaning properly, you have to come closer to Jesus, to hear him, to listen carefully to what he is saying. Parables can be taken in two different ways. On the one hand, they hide the plain truth from anyone who won't listen to what Jesus is saying. On the other hand, parables are an invitation to come to Jesus, to learn the truth from him. Jesus explains that even before he explains the parable, as Sylvia read to us just now in verses 9 and 10 of Luke chapter 8. We read this: his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." Are you listening? We have the explanation of the parable right here in our Bible reading this morning. We first learn what the seed is. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, Jesus said, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God." What does it mean that the seed is the word of God? This is a phrase that has appeared already in the Gospel of Luke. The phrase, "the word of God," is a kind of summary of what Jesus has been teaching. That he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. He is the fulfillment of Old Testament teaching that God himself would come to save his people from their sins. That we are sinners before God, without hope if we are depending on our own good works, but that Jesus has come to save us. And we are saved only by repenting of our sin, turning away from it, and then crying to God for forgiveness. He forgives us when we turn to him. He's promised it, and he can do that because Jesus came to take the punishment that our sins deserve. So that's the word of God. That's the good news, the gospel, the word of God being sown. And what kind of soil is it being sown in? What kind of soil are you for this seed word to land in? Well, Jesus said that there are four different types of ground where the seed could be sown. Is your heart like the dead path? Jesus said those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The devil is real, and he's already got you if you think he isn't. What an evil adversary he is, keeping people from having peace with God. He's at work preventing people coming to hear the good news, maybe even distracting someone here from listening right now. Or is your heart rocky ground? Jesus said those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. I've known of people who seemed really on fire for the Lord, but when things got going tough in life, they fell away. And such people were sitting in church like we are this morning until they stopped following Jesus. Is your heart choked up? Jesus said the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. It's not always an obvious open sin that leads people to fall away. Often, it's just lots of good intentions and reasonable concerns that obscure Jesus from view. And you drift. You think you'll catch up, but you just fall away. But there is a good soil. Jesus said, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. That's when you face trials and troubles and hold on to the word, to the promises of God. And you produce fruit, even as much as 100-fold. Jesus says, those who hear his word and trust it in every part of life will yield the fruit of a spiritually healthy, godly, changed heart. And you'll persevere because you are being held by Jesus. It's worth noting how liberal the sower was with his seed, even though Alan didn't particularly want to be liberal. In the story, the sower was liberal with his seed. He threw it everywhere. When you grow things from seed, you usually choose your soil very carefully, as Alan wanted to, and only plant where you expect success. But not this sower. He sowed all over the place. You know, the church needs to be like that. You and I don't know how different people will respond to the good news of the gospel. So we must sow the seed everywhere. So who is this parable for? Why did Jesus tell and explain this parable to his disciples when they were presumably all good soil? They're already in the kingdom, surely. So why do they need to hear it? I suggest that this whole parable is actually for the benefit of Jesus' followers, much more than it is an evangelistic message. Jesus is setting expectations for us as his church. First, we are to sow the good news everywhere. We don't know who will accept the message and who will reject it. So we must sow the seed. And second, he's telling us to expect rejection. Sometimes that will be immediate. At other times, people will fall away more slowly and disappoint us and maybe even break our hearts. We need to be ready for that. But we must go on sowing anyway. And then third, Jesus is also setting an expectation that there will be some success. It may be a minority of hearers, but there will be some success. It's not down to the skill of the sower. God gives the increase, and it is He who will determine whether the seed we sow will grow. Fourthly, Jesus is making it abundantly clear that healthy, godly fruitfulness is expected of his disciples, of us. Now, someone here might be worried that actually they're not quite the right soil. You fall so far short of the sort of person you think you ought to be as a Christian. But that's the experience of many Christians. It's not unusual. You're like many others. But time and again, every day, you can repent of your sin and you can go to Jesus for forgiveness. He has promised that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. He is abounding in grace and steadfast love. He loves you. In the verses immediately following our passage today, Jesus teaches that we should be sure to let our light shine and to consider carefully how we listen. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in and can see the light, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. As Christians, we need to listen to Jesus, to do what he says, to let our light shine for him, whether it be at work or at home or just simply in our neighborhood, with our friends, with our families. Do people know that you are a Christian? They might know that you go to church, but that's not what I mean. Do you live Christ out in your life for others to see? Do you shine? Are you just hearing Jesus' teaching, or are you listening?